読んでもらって。
あ、聞かない。
Scripture reading today is from Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll read in Japanese. ヨハネの福音書3章1節から8節を日本語でお読みします。さて、パリサイ人の中にニコデモという人がいた。ユダヤ人の指導者であった。この人が夜、イエスのもとに来ていった。先生、私たちはあなたが神のもとから来られた教師であることを知っています。神が共におられるのでなければ、あなたがなさるこのような印は誰も行うことができません。イエスは答えて言われた。まことにまことにあなたに告げます。人は新しく生まれなければ神の国を見ることはできません。ニコデモは言った。人は老年になっていて、どのようにして生まれることができるのですか。もう一度母の胎に入って生まれることができましょうか。イエスは答えられた。まことにまことにあなたに告げます。人は水と御霊によって生まれなければ神の国に入ることができません。肉によって生まれたものは肉です。御霊によって生まれたものは霊です。あなた方は新しく生まれなければならないと私が言ったことを不思議に思ってはなりません。風はその思いのままに吹き、あなたはその音を聞くが、それがどこから来てどこへ行くかを知らない。御霊によって生まれるものも皆その通りです。
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you, Tamao-san, for the reading. And、for those of you who don't know, the Japanese translation that,、that's available for you at the desk, at the front desk when you come in, it's actually translated by Tamao. She does all the translation.、I don't know if she does a great job or not, but she does it all, so yeah. Definitely... very helpful in that way for those of us.Whose、English is their second language. Actually, you didn't know, English is my second language. I don't know if you knew that. So I went to ESL and all of that.、I was one of those ESL kids that didn't think he needed to be in ESL, but、the teachers thought I did, so I guess I did. Anyways,、today's message is from John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles,with you, turn there with me. Of course, this is、prior to one of the most famous scripture passages that you may have heard, John 3:16, which says, For God so loved the world. But we're not getting there just yet. We're getting close to that one. But、today we're looking at、Jesus' teaching on being born again, seeing...Entering and living in the kingdom of God. Think about that for a second. Are you currently seeing the kingdom of God? Are you currently in the kingdom of God? Living in? Because I ask that question because a lot of times we think that's a future reality.And although it is a future reality, there are present tense、evidence of that. And seeing is one of them. Living in it and participating in it now is、evidence that it will be fully fulfilled in the future. You see that all throughout Scripture. This isn't taught...much it, from what I know. And so it might be a little controversial. But all throughout Scripture, you see people who actually, in a physical sense, see the kingdom of God, and they just don't know what they just saw. But they know it was something that was not of this world. This isn't just in the Old Testament, but you see that throughout the New Testament as well. Evidence of the kingdom of God's presence is not just simply blind belief. Jesus himself here will later say, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's get into our story. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Pharisees, yes? To give you a little background about the Pharisees, and I'm not qualified to give you an in-depth background about these groups of religious leaders of Jesus' times, but apparently there were different, even within the Pharisee group, different groups of Pharisees, if you will. Just like today, as Christians, there are different Christians, if you will, different sort of camps. The two major ones were the Shammais, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and the Hillels. The Shammais, they were Shamamin or Shammais, I don't does anyone know here? Go ahead, shout it out if you know. Anyways, okay, I didn't hear anything. So this group, they were more stringent on legalism. They took the law, the letter of the law, very strictly over and above even human compassion, if you will. That's just a sweeping generalization. The Hillels, they were more focused on justice issues, human issues. Nicodemus could have been from the Hillel side of the Pharisee spectrum. Now, Jesus, when he deals with Pharisees, sometimes he's very stern, you brood of vipers kind of thing. And other times, he would just simply answer the question. Here in this section, we see a very tame interaction with the Pharisees, with Jesus. Because at other times, it can be very volatile, antagonistic. Just to throw out another name, the Sadducees were also a different group. They were the priests of the time. And the Sadducees, they didn't believe in any of the supernatural. They didn't believe in demons or angels or resurrection or an afterlife, etc., etc. They were very here and now oriented people. That's neither here nor there, I guess, in this story. But see, here in the Pharisees, a man named Nicodemus, it says, a ruler of the Jews. He was not just an average Pharisee, he was a very high-ranking Pharisee, some people say. He was sent to ask Jesus a question, and he comes in the guise of night, not to be noticed by the crowd, if you will. He says to him, Rabbi, which is actually a sign of respect. This is, in their culture, when you call somebody rabbi, you're saying, I am under you, in that sense. And so Nicodemus acknowledges not only that he is a man doing miracles, but he is a man sent from God and a bona fide rabbi. He says, we know that, a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do. Again, it says we. So here the we, I don't think encompasses all of the Pharisees, if you will. There was a group of the Pharisees that he considered, we realize that you are from God. And there was another group of Pharisees that probably was very antagonistic towards Jesus and saying, he is of the devil. You do not do miracles on the Sabbath. He is of the devil. While the Hillel side would be saying, that is a great thing he did. Healing on the Sabbath was not a problem for them. It would have been a problem for the Shammai side. The signs Jesus performed were undoubtedly authentic, and it grabbed the attention of everyone, including these leaders. Interesting enough, even though they still acknowledge Jesus is from God, doing authentic miracles, Nicodemus still only acknowledges Jesus as rabbi. Right? Not Messiah, who he really is. Not even prophet. Maybe he would have gone there, but he's still not willing to go to prophet and more realistically, rabbi. You see, one of the problems he had, and I would say one of the problems we have as human beings when we come to Jesus, is a lot of our baggage, preconceived notions we bring to the table of who God is. And as a Pharisee, a well-learned man, a leader, a respected person, Nicodemus, you bet, would have had a lot of hurdles to overcome to get to the point, Messiah. But let me ask you, what are some hurdles you and I have to overcome to see who God is, for who he truly is? When we see Jesus, getting off the note, when we see Jesus, oftentimes we see him more as Savior, right? He saves us. But if that's at the forefront of our mind, we don't see him as Lord, Master, Teacher. We bring in all of our preconceived notions and come to Jesus, save us so that when we die, we get to go to heaven. And even save us now so that we could have a great, beautiful American dream life. But does Jesus really come to bring the American dream? Even successful American dream? I've been convicted of that personally. But that's a, I guess that's a testimony for another time. Jesus answers them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See, even though this isn't antagonistic, he didn't say, "You brood of vipers." I mean, that's pretty, you know, "You baby snake." He doesn't go there, but he does say, "Hey, you're missing something very important. And you're missing something very important because you're not born again. You're missing who I really am because you're not born again." Truly, truly, that is a phrase not commonly used. It is a double amen. It means listen up. Listen up really close. I don't know. Just this is the most important thing you'll hear in your life, pretty much. Born again, or born from above, not a new, completely new term, but something Nicodemus was lacking, something Nicodemus would not grasp the meaning of. But he says, unless you are born again, that is a prerequisite of seeing, and seeing from God's perspective, unless you are born again, you will not see nor understand the kingdom of God. You'll continue to see it from a very secular way, and there are very, I don't want to say a lot, but there are people who would take the gospel in a very secular way to fulfill their secular dreams, to fulfill their secular desires. their fleshly desires.
Yeah.
They will even promise you certain things I believe the Bible does not necessarily promise. I'm not going to quote anyone or give you any examples. Or should I? Now that I said that, that's probably bothering you. Sorry. Interestingly enough, in the fall of humanity, Satan comes as a serpent, promising Adam and Eve the ability to see. Right? You will be as God. Forgetting to mention that even though you will see, you'll be blinded in other areas of your life. Here, Jesus comes to reverse that curse so that we could see what was blinded in the garden. Let me ask you, when was the last time you saw the kingdom of God and said, that's something I can't really understand? And if I were to share my experience with someone who is not spiritual, he'll think I'm crazy. And even if I did share my spiritual experience with someone that is spiritual, that person still might think I'm crazy, because we live in a time when spirituality, unless it's measurable scientifically, is not valid. With our wonderful devices we made, unless these validate it, you're not validated. But as one person says, our technology is so primitive even now. The idea of smashing atoms together to see what's inside of it. Sort of cavemanish, don't you think? It's like, oh, what's inside of this thing? I'm talking about the Large Hadron Collider, one of our greatest technological achievements, yet they're just spinning it so fast that they could try to break it to see what's inside. What did you say? That's a little primitive. By the way, gosh, I'm going off on a tangent here, but I guess Switzerland, congrats on Switzerland for making the longest underground tunnel. You guys know about that? That was in the news recently. Some of you see, I see you have noticed that. Did you guys see the opening ceremony of that? Oh my goodness. To Amber Alert for those of you who are like all of us are getting the Amber Alert. What's up with that?
Technology.
Yeah. Speaking of technology, but oh well, anyways. Going back to the Switzerland thing, YouTube it. If I'm boring you right now, YouTube it now, you guys, I don't care.
This is good.
No, but YouTube, the Switzerland opening ceremony, and it will be one of the craziest, bizarre things you've seen. And I'm not just, I'm sure, this was on BBC? I don't know what they're called. BBC. Even their commentators were like, what's going on? They're kind of making light of it because it was just so bizarre, but something strange is happening. We do actually live in a world that has pendulum swung from a very, you're late, whoever that one says, it's kind of late. You got a late one. It went from a very scientific, unless it's scientific, it's not real, but the pendulum has swung to now supernatural is becoming more and more normal. And so you see a lot of these TV shows, a lot of movies, of supernatural things happening, and I do want to put out a little warning out there. Please, please, please be careful what you see on television, online, in the movies. There's definitely an agenda being pushed, one that would have you desensitized to these things, first of all, but also one that would, if Satan could, he would try to brainwash you in these things. Now, see, you think I'm crazy when I say that, but I want you to know that is a well documented that the CIA were into and probably still is researching the art of brainwashing. It is a field that is scoffed upon, but at the same time, I'm sure millions of dollars go into those kinds of things. I've shared this before, but testings have shown that when you're watching television, your mind goes into an alpha mode, which allows information to be digested a lot easier because your critical thinking is turned off when you're in alpha mode. So those of you who watch a lot of television, be careful. A lot of your information is not from God. And it's actually probably trying to brainwash you to certain things, certain desires, certain tendencies, certain dreams, certain actions, reactions, etc., etc. See, these are the things, some of the things we need to hurdle over. Nicodemus had a lot of things he needed to hurdle over coming to Jesus. But as Americans or living in America, we too have a number of hurdles to jump. And let me just say, if your theology about God, and I'm not talking about the fundamentals of Christianity, has not been, I hate to use the word evolving because I know that's a buzzword for some of us, but if it hasn't been maturing, growing, changing since you first became Christian, then those preconceived notions may have been protected, even if they weren't right, even if they were wrong, right? That is to sort of imply, well, I'm perfect. And so what I knew 20 years ago is perfect even now. And pride goes before a fall. It goes without saying, if you think you're perfect, you're not in a good place. Nicodemus said to him, this is verse 4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, that word can be exchanged with wind if you want. But it says water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So first he says you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. But you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it doesn't say you will not enter. It says you cannot enter. This is a present tense verb. You cannot enter presently. A lot of stuff, chosen. I hope we didn't miss the rapture. Did someone disappear from? No, everyone's here. No one made it. Not just kidding. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, the kingdom he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus asked an interesting question about the possibility of being born again and the process of it. Can and how? I think he is a genuine seeker, Nicodemus. I think Jesus actually likes him. He wasn't here to disprove Jesus as some of the leaders would come to do. He didn't come here to trap Jesus or to try to discredit him in any way. Rather, he was a seeker of truth. And I would say, any of you who are genuine seekers of truth, you will find Jesus. It's okay to have questions. It is. Because a genuine seeker of truth will eventually find Jesus. For he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Here Jesus shows us, or he explains, there are two sides to this born again. There's the water and there's the wind. There's the water and there's the spirit. The first side, water, and in this context, and we've only been in three chapters of John, but I believe in this context, the water means baptism. Not just a ceremonial baptism, but a baptism of repentance. A baptism which signifies dying to your old self and raising again in a new life. And unless we first die to ourselves, and practically saying, unless we say we surrender to you, God, and to your ways, you will never enter the kingdom. So that is your part of the deal. Turning from your ways. I'm very proud of some of the members of JCCT, how God has turned them in a very practical way. One of our dearest members, I won't say his name or her name, says, Sundays I used to go to the casinos, but God changed him. God took his life and changed him. That is a genuine repentance. I wish we had more stories of genuine repentance. Practical stories. I used to do this, and I used to enjoy this, and I used to be like that. But God changed me. The other side of the coin, just as important, is the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter how much God has changed you, this is a gift that only God can give. Repentance is something we give to God, and the Holy Spirit is something that He gives to us. This is very well illustrated in Acts 19, 2 through 4. Do we have time? I'll just paraphrase it. There were believers in that place, and they were telling John, or they were telling Paul, I believe, that we've only received the baptism of water. You know what? I'm going to go there because it is a very important part to this, being born again. Acts 19. Let me read. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived to Ephesus. I'm reading from verse, starting from verse 1, 19:1. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard what the Holy Spirit is." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was the baptism of repentance, and he told the people to believe in the one coming after him. This is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. There will be more to come to say about the Holy Spirit. But here again, we see a supernatural event occurring when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't simply all about the supernatural, but surely there has to be something supernatural about the Spirit. Something we cannot just conjure up on our own desires or our own whims. We can't fake it. Or some people have tried to fake it, I guess. But it is something that is not of this world. It is a supernatural thing that each and every one of us should desire more of. Because we cannot see nor enter without those two things. A repentance, a life of repentance, not just a one-time ceremony saying, "I repented," but a life of repentance and a life of filled with the Spirit. Do you see some preconceived notions trying to pop up its head in your imagination right now? No, just me. What are we missing? You know, does your life, if you were to measure your life with some of these saints in the Bible, does it reflect it in any ways? In what part? Or is our lives more a reflection of the religious leader of those times, the Pharisees, Sadducees? Just asking. I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying you guys are Pharisees. I'm not saying that. Not at all. I'm looking in the mirror myself. And I'm saying, these are very interesting things you've seen, Ezekiel. That's an interesting life you live, Daniel. Mine looks nothing like that. So either I change or something about the Bible needs to change. Peter, Paul, John, all of you guys. Well, they were special Christians. Maybe I should just put them in the special category. They were special Christians. I'm not saying they weren't. Some of these other people, though, they weren't that special. They still got to see these. These 12 men, their names aren't even mentioned. How special could they be? How special could they be? They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They weren't that special. Just kidding. They were very special. I'm just trying to make a point. Now, I'm not saying you need to start going and speaking in tongues. But I am saying, if our lives doesn't reflect what the Bible teaches, what are we using the Bible for? I could change the meaning for the Bible for you, sure. I haven't been trained in that, but I could Google it. I could YouTube it. Do you want me to do that? Will it make us feel better? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. People born of the Spirit, Jesus is saying, is sort of like the wind. What does that mean? First of all, he says, flesh is flesh. That which is born of flesh will not enter the kingdom of God. Even as Christians, even as believers, we have a lot of flesh in our lives, right? Just literally, our lives are flesh. But even what we partake in can be very fleshly. Even what we pursue can be very fleshly. Even the things we most desire can be very fleshly. And so it's important that we realize what is flesh and what is of the Spirit. Because, I'll say this, the Bible teaches us that the flesh will amount to nothing. You realize the Bible, and when it talks about the kingdom, one of the greatest aspects of it is a new life, right? New life here, but a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven, a new earth. And in this new heaven and new earth, I believe it reflects a lot of the old heavens and the old earth. But one major ingredient missing: sin. Sin is missing. The absence of sin. This new heaven, new earth, we get to participate in it now. We get to see a little bit of it now. We get to live in it a little bit now. But the fullness doesn't come unless we literally die. And when we literally die, there is a transition into a new heavens, new earth. And in this new heavens, new earth, our position, our authority, our treasures, do you know what it's all contingent on? It's how we live here. Paul says, some of you are going to go before God and your life is going to burn up right before your eyes and you're going to barely make it. As if one escaping through the fires. Those are his words. While others, when the fire comes, it will test and show your life as one worthy, well done, good and faithful servant, and will have great amounts of treasures in heaven. And you will be rewarded with true riches and true authority because you lived your life here in a worthy manner. This born again deal is a very important thing. Because, first of all, born again, unless we're born again, we will not partake in that reality. I don't preach on hell a lot. And I'm not planning to preach on hell, but there is a hell. According to the Bible. According to the Bible, there's a hell. According to, you know, people who has NDEs, near-death experience, this hell is not a very nice place. It's not a place you want to end up in. It's a place you want to avoid at all costs. But as hideous and as bad as hell is, heaven, on the other hand, greater than you or I could imagine. Greater than anything you cannot or I can imagine. The beauty of it. The glory of it. Jesus says, you know, what is born of flesh will eventually die. What is born of the Spirit, those are who partake in the kingdom. And he likens it as wind. They have similar characteristics. They're not controlled by anything of this world. In that way, it's unpredictable. Only God controls the wind. He'll tell it where to go, what to do, how hard to blow, kind of thing. Those of us who are of the Spirit are not controlled by circumstances or happenstances. We're not controlled by formulas. We're not controlled, but what if, you know, you can't press a button and expect the same result when someone's in the Spirit. But when someone's in the flesh, you press the right buttons and the same results happen. But when we're born again, we have the capacity to see, to enter, and to participate in the kingdom of God for His glory. Are you guys, are we doing those things? Church will be a lot more exciting. People come up, hey, Pastor, I just saw this. Tell me what it means. I'm like, I don't know what it means. But that's pretty cool. You want to share it? I just experienced this. I just witnessed this. This just happened to my life. This just happened through my life. And I'm guilty of it, but, you know, most of the Christian life is like, you know, we get excited when we buy the bigger house, God just blessed me with the big house. And we're like, yes, that's our God who blesses the big house. Sorry, there's nothing wrong with the big house. But honestly, I think God is telling me, live in a small house. Give more. You will never regret giving more. You will regret, you might regret living in a huge house. You know, we're excited when our sports team wins. And I'm guilty of that. I am. Perhaps in this group, eyeballing this group, I am the most guilty of that, for that one, about sports. That's going to burn up. That will burn up.
Hey,
yeah?
Sorry to interrupt your sermon. Can I testify when we talk about experience?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Maybe after.
Yes.
We'd love to hear it. These are things, realities, that we can walk in. We should be walking in. And if we're not walking in these realities, we should take a look at what's going on with our lives. Something is off. Either Jesus was off or our life is a little off, you know? And I'm going to have to say maybe Jesus isn't off that often or ever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. We do thank you, Lord, that you do bless us abundantly, richly. But Father, if our blessings will become a curse and it will be something we gnash our teeth over on the day of judgment, I pray, Father, you will wake us up to that. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands the nearness of your coming and the nearness of our departure from here. Father, we know that there will be scoffers in the last days saying, where is this coming? And even now, Lord, some doubt in our own hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you would remove the tares in our hearts. Reveal them to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would have mercy, God, with our lives. And that you would give us the grace to enter, see, and participate in your kingdom, Lord, your wonderful kingdom that is available here and now. Holy Spirit, come, fill us. Convict our hearts to repentance and fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, that we will be born into your kingdom, born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Today we're just going to transition.